The biggest topic of the week, of course, is crime, youth crime in particular. We've seen some horrific tragedies across the state in recent weeks. Unfortunately, it's taken those deaths and those tragedies to spark some action from the state government. A whole range of changes were introduced this week, or announced at least this week. Changes to bail, the option of looking at GPS trackers on some young offenders, holding parents more accountable. They're all good changes. It'll be interesting to see how they roll out and whether they have an impact on the issue of youth crime in particular. One man that I was very keen to talk about after this week's announcement by the state government is Paul Taylor. Now, Paul is Deputy Commissioner for Regional Queensland. He's got just about more experience than anyone you can think of in the field of particularly youth crime, but policing in general. Paul Taylor, welcome to the King Review.
Yeah, morning, Gav. How are you?
Very well. Now, obviously, these changes, huge impact for police in terms of what you're able to do. Just give us a quick rundown for listeners. What do these changes mean for your officers, on particularly those on the front line?
Well, first and foremost, there are, I suppose, a suite of measures that have been announced. And so when you look at it in its totality, it provides us with a range of options that we think can make a significant difference to the current situation. But basically, one of the issues that's been quite frustrating for police, and particularly from my perspective, is a lot of these kids that are roaming the streets, that are preying on members of the community, that are breaking into houses, stealing their cars and so forth, are kids that invariably should be home. They should be home in bed. They should be getting a good night's sleep, and they should be getting out and going to school and getting an education and an opportunity for a productive working life into the future. And sadly, a majority of these kids are out in the street because there's no guardianship or a lack of guardianship. So one of the great features of one of the measures is to create a level of accountability around guardianship, be they parent, be them a non-government organisation that's responsible for the young person, or a relative. And so what it does, it provides the court with the discretion to get an assurance from those whoever's responsible for the young person that they'll comply with conditions. And we've sadly seen a number of times where young persons have been bailed to a location and environment that is not suitable to nurture a young person, or they've been bail to an adult person that has no responsibility or does not want responsibility for that person. So obviously in those circumstances, bail is destined to fail. Mm. So yeah. That's a feature that I think is great.
And I think that's long overdue. There's a lot of talk about parents and the lack of responsibility there. Now, you hear nothing but praise for police and the work that they do to tackling this long-standing, ongoing problem. But there must be frustrating for your officers on the front line who are out there doing an incredible job, often a very dangerous, risky job. They're arresting these kids over and over again. Can you just talk, I guess, a little bit about that frustration that officers feel, and give listeners a sense of, you know, the challenges that officers face?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that over the years, you know, I've been in this organisation for over 40 years now, and, you know, the types of kids that I dealt with offenders as offenders certainly weren't to the young age that our police are seeing today. And by that I mean typical, the young offenders that I would have seen in my time were typically around 15 and 16 years of age, which obviously a lot harder to manage within a home environment. But the police on the street today, they're dealing with 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old children, and some of them take extraordinary risks. You know, they're stealing cars. Some of these kids are flat out seeing over the steering wheel. So there is a level of frustration when police track these kids down, because a lot of them are very hard to find. It's not like you go to the one address and here they are sitting up watching television. Some of the kids frequently move not only within towns but across towns, and we frequently get children that might be from Cairns down to Townsville and vice versa and out to Mount Isa. So it is a constant battle trying to low coach some of these kids, and then invariably they don't just give up. They take off. They jump fences, run through swamps. They'll do anything they can to get away. So, you know, it is a situation where police are confronted every day with trying to track down capture these kids and put them before the courts. And we believe these measures that have been introduced, it's a challenge to make sure that we work in partnership with all those other entities that are involved in the youth justice sector to make sure, A, that we're providing a better outcome for the community around their safety, B, that we're making guardians responsible for the young person, and thirdly, that we're trying to bring young people to account, be responsible for the decisions and those actions they do.
The other frustration I think that I've always had and lots of people have discussed is that this is not just a policing issue. It's not just about building more detention centres and more prisons and putting kids behind bars, even though some, of course, need that to happen. Is there what else is happening, I guess, from other agencies? How are they working with police? Is there enough happening outside of the work, that sort of frontline work that police are doing? Because I think that's absolutely what is required here, because we can't keep locking kids up when it doesn't really seem to have an impact. They have no fear of punishment, certainly in many cases no fear of police. So what else is happening? What else would you like to see happen, I guess, across all of those agencies?
Yeah, well, look, firstly, there's always opportunities for everyone to work better collaboratively. There's opportunities for police to do better. And we're always looking at better ways that we can respond to some of these challenges. But you're 100% right. The more that we're joined together with right across the different agencies within government and those that are in the private sector to really recognise what are the causal factors around children moving into the juvenile justice system. They don't just wake up one day and decide that they're going to break into houses. You know, typically what we do is we see a decline in those types of support mechanisms that one would think would normally be wrapped around a young person so that they're nurtured in a positive way. So we see disengagement from education. We see those children that are in an environment where there may be issues around mental health. There may be issues around drug use or alcohol use. So those are all touch points where collectively we can get in and try and take those steps in the formative years of a young person's life to make sure that that environment is suitable and is supported to nurture children in a positive way. You know, these kids, these hardcore kids which we're talking about, which is a small cohort within the broader population, they're kids that they could potentially be institutionalised for the rest of their lives. So some of these kids will move from a juvenile justice system into an adult justice system, sadly. So, you know, we know that kids that make a mistake, and I was young once, I made certainly lots of mistakes when I was a kid. I certainly didn't steal cars, but I did make mistakes. And I was held accountable for it and by my parents. And grounded, not allowed out, not allowed to watch TV, those types of things. So what I would hope that happens is that we get back to basics. We try to make sure that every kid is at school every day. If not, why not? And that everyone around recognise the value in education. The cost to the community, not only in once people become institutionalised, the cost of keeping someone in a juvenile facility or an adult facility is one cost, but then there's the loss cost. What would that person contribute to society if they were a productive citizen, if they were employed and paying taxes, if they raised a family in the right way and they grew up to be productive citizens? So, you know, there's no doubt that if we can turn kids around in that first instance, and we talk roughly about 85% of kids that we deal with in the first occasion, and we deal with them in a range of ways. If we do it right, and when I say we, that's us and other agencies do it right, we don't see those kids again. So we've got to get that better, and then we've got to target those that continue to prey on members of the community don't take the opportunities to change their ways. We've got to make sure that we get better at putting them before the courts and having them dealt with appropriately. Mm.
Well, I don't know there's much more that police can do, to be honest, Paul, because you guys and girls do an incredible job. I think more of that whole of government approach, and not just state government, in fact, you know, council and the feds, all, I think everyone has a role to play given the complexity and the scale of this issue. Paul Taylor, Deputy Commissioner, always great to chat to you. I look forward to further chats with you and almost sort of monitoring, I guess, how these recent legislative changes this week, how they roll out and what the impact is over coming months. Thanks so much, Paul.
Yeah, Gav, just before you go, mate, I think the other issue which you and me have talked about over the years is there's an opportunity for us to, you know, embed police personnel within schools, and those younger schools in particular. And there's, you know, I was very pleased to see that we've got the three positions that are going to be started off in Cairns to see how that goes. But I think that's a real step forward with building relationships with young people in those formative years. So I think that's a good thing.
That's great. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Paul.